Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How is life?
Life is good. Today we're back in the morning. Last week it was in the afternoon when we recorded, so it's good to be here back in the morning. A little more energy, I think, right?
Very good.
Yes.
And you told me you look tired, and it took me back to the seminary days where professor or someone would tell you look tired. You panicked because you said, oh my, this goes on the evaluation.
You look tired, I have found, can be an offensive statement. So I'm kind of careful to say you look tired.
So my typical answer is, I didn't shave, because that's what I think happens. When I'm not shaved, I think I look tired.
Mm-hmm.
What's your answer?
I don't know.
You have to have one.
Well, I'm the one who said it last week, and maybe I shouldn't have.
Fifth Sunday in Easter, still John's Gospel. John's Gospel is the Gospel for Easter, obviously. So we're going to read from chapter 15, verses 1 to 8.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples."
Philip, I'm going to tell you something that maybe you don't know. When I was 16, I felt that I needed to be tougher. And I decided to go to, pertaining to this gospel, I decided to go to the harvesting of the grapes in Spain, which is very tough. You go for a whole month and you live with people you don't know. The work day started at 6 a.m. and finished at sunset, 6 p.m. every day. And it was 30 days in a row.
Wow.
For very little pay. And I did it for 2 years. But that's how I tried to... I thought I was very comfortable, and I was growing up in a very comfortable situation. And I wanted to get that experience, but it was very tough, very, very tough work. So every time I hear the image, the beautiful image of the vineyard, I think about this. And part of it was that you had these very sharp scissors that then you have to hold the grapes in your hand. So you would cut the grapes 95% of the time, but 5% of the time you would cut yourself, everybody, like for the whole month. And you would always be bending a little bit, and you couldn't feel your back by the end of the day.
Yeah.
So when I read this gospel, I think of that. But it's a beautiful image, right?
Right.
So every time I read this gospel, I remember the fields and the beauty of the vineyards in the Mediterranean. Yeah.
So here's another gospel with an image here following up from last week. But just like sheep and shepherds, that's not a common image to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
to a lot of us, such as myself, I've never spent a lot of time around a vine with grapes on it. I've seen it a little bit. I've traveled to places where there are vineyards, but I've never looked really closely. So it's something that I'm a little unfamiliar with, but it's an image that's very familiar to this crowd here that Jesus is speaking to.
In giving us this idea of the vineyard and the vine, I think Jesus is looking at two things. One, that if you are familiar with it, the grapes grow on the branches, and there is a trunk that stays in. So this idea of pruning, I think that's what Jesus is saying, because the pruning happens every year. You always prune, and the new grapes will come from new branches, always. This idea that something stays, but then the branching out is new every time. I think that's an interesting concept, don't you think?
I like that image. That's a really basic, and yeah, I appreciate that.
So at Sacred Heart, we started a community garden this year. And one of the things I insisted is that we would plant vines. So don't you think that's a great theological
point? I like that.
Point?
I like that a
so
lot.
So children will come and see a vine that maybe they haven't seen.
What's the other image, though? You said, so the trunk remains.
No, the trunk remains. And the idea of pruning. Pruning is fundamental with vineyards. You prune every year. When you finish the harvesting, every growth is removed so that it starts again. It would be from like roses, you know, that when you have a rose tree that you have to prune, so that the next year you will have roses again. That's the concept. That's the idea.
Right. There's something that I notice in here as well, and it's this language that there's a sense of the past, the present, and the future a little bit here. You've already been pruned, and I don't think one should pass that up too quickly. And I the way that at least I'm hearing this, at least at this present moment in my life, is just that there is within the heart of every single human person this deep desire, this deep yearning, this calling for God. And there's something of that that's implanted within us. So we're never just kind of blank pieces of paper. We already have kind of God within us and God's that yearning for God within us. What he's saying here is, all right, so here's how you bring that alive. It's this growth of a Christian. It's growth of a disciple, growth in the Christian life, in the sense of the tenses here, past, a little bit of present, a little bit of the future here in the tone. So what's present before that relationship with Jesus and the pruning that takes place? The other thing that I think about, so my second thing, is what a rich life. Jesus is describing a really rich life. It's not boring. I want you to bear much fruit, God says here, Jesus says. I want you to bear much fruit. Yeah, not to be sterile, I'm not going to be stingy, but boy, that's the life of a disciple. We don't always appreciate that. We can get a little stuck in, there's the doldrum aspects of it or the responsibility aspect of it. Jesus says here, boy, no, it's going to be really exciting. That's what God wants for us.
And that's one of my questions, one of my perennial questions. What does it mean to bear fruit?
Yeah.
And Jesus says that, and then you wonder, if you are a parent, your children are fruit, right? But if you are a priest, for instance, what's fruitfulness for us?
Right. That's a very good question. And I think of that very often, especially as pastors. So some priests are not in parishes, but especially as pastors. What's fruitfulness? I'm going to be a broken record on this. We've talked about this very often, but it's not just about us. When you look at the life of a community, it's the community's willingness to be creative, to go out into the world and to look out for not only the marginalized and the poor, but those who are away, those who are spiritually poor, and to go out and do it. We're only one person at our places.
Yeah.
And sometimes we say this, and it's a little frustrating when you don't see real movement.
And one thing I've said before, and maybe it's the first time I tell you, but in other professions, they have objective data or a scoreboard. If you are in sports, you play, you lose, you win, you have more points than the other team, or you don't. How do you evaluate this in a parish? It's not that objective growth. Some places cannot grow because of the demographics. And how do you evaluate this? What's the fruitfulness of my parish? How do I know this?
That's a really, really good question, and we should be asking in some way.
Many things we do, you get some positives, some negatives. We had at Sacred Heart, we had an online conference in March about Catholic social justice. 750 people watched the video. Is that success? I don't know. This is more than 500. It's less than 1,000. In my opinion, thousands should have watched it, but I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate this. It's one of the difficulties.
But I like your attitude. So your attitude, though, is something that I think we should have in our personal lives as well, in that we're always looking to be more fruitful, to do better, to, mm-hmm. you know, it's constant self-improvement, never complacency. And boy, we can get complacent. Sometimes age will bring that on, sometimes circumstances, but never to be complacent. I think we have to do that as individuals as well. I need to be more fruitful in what Jesus Christ is calling me to and has given me tools to do. So even your question about the numbers, you're asking the question, which I think is really important.
There is a famous business theory about continuous improvement. That's what I've always believed, that you have to be continuously evaluating and tweaking things in a way that you can do a little better. I wouldn't like to finish this podcast without looking at the last statement in the gospel, which is typical of John. You follow something, and when you are a bit lost, boom, the statement, incredible. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit, much fruit, and become my disciples. So maybe that's the fruit, becoming disciples and getting others to be disciples also. So, but you know, these days it's so in fashion to speak about discipleship and make disciples and everything. I'm not sure how do we replicate from a parish what disciple meant at that time in history. You know, I keep struggling with this. Mm. Everybody says it. And I also hear people saying disciple is a follower, as simple as this. Follow Jesus and invite others to follow Jesus, but then what? You see, it sounds very well. Everybody's talking about it. What does it mean? How do we translate what we do into a school of discipleship?
That's a fascinating question. What did discipleship look like in this moment in John's gospel versus today as we talk about it? And are there differences? That's a really, really good question. Mm. And I don't have an answer to it.
And I don't either.
I think something to think about for the rest of the week and to pray about, at least for me, that might be a good way to end.
Do you find yourself sometimes preaching and saying, people need to complete the homily? It's not for me to answer. And that's the kind of homily I think that we will need to answer one by one and as a community.
It's not clear to, because I don't say it out loud, it's not clear to the listener always, but yeah, every once in a while there are homilies. I'd say maybe up to 50% of my homilies are me just proposing a thought or an image and kind of leaving it there without really concrete direction moving forward to kind of help people to enter into the biblical worldview, but then, as you say, complete the homily in their own lives mm-hmm. without me being real specific about it. 50% might be high, but I do that sometimes, and maybe sometimes I should be clear to say this is the purpose of what I want to say today, which is a little different than last week.
I think I would come to your church.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I would come to yours as well.
Excellent.
All right. This has been good. This is a very fruitful discussion on a gospel that I've seen many times, and I've got some really fresh thoughts. So I really appreciate this.
So I don't look tired today. You're happy?
No, you look fine. All right. Next week.
See you next week, Philip.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.